Well, the sermon title might be a little odd this week. Foundation of what? Because if you're looking at, if you're looking at the bulletin at all, the next hymn we sing is "The Church is One Foundation." So, the foundation we might be talking about is the foundation of the church, of course, and that is certainly part of it. But something struck me as I was looking at our Ephesians lesson this week, and it was something that was new to me, not in that I'd never noticed it before. It wasn't one of those things, because I still get those even now in Scripture. I mean, it's a fairly complex and large book, and no matter how many times you read it, every once in a while you come across things, and well, I've come across things that I actually went back to other translations to make sure that it had always been there and realized that, no, I just missed it every time I'd read it before. But I was looking at this from a different perspective, at least I think it was a different perspective, and the sermon title was, as much as anything, a way to push me to think a little bit more deeply about this, because the word that struck me out of this whole reading, and this is probably the most convoluted introduction I've ever done, is the word cornerstone. Now, I don't know much about construction. I've never done my own. You know, I've built decks and that sort of thing. I don't think that counts. I've worked in construction for a short period of time, but I've never been responsible for it. So things like cornerstones, I mean, I have some vague idea of what they do. It's sort of like a supporting wall in that I know you shouldn't take one down, but I may not necessarily recognize one the way I should. But as I was thinking of a cornerstone, my best understanding of a cornerstone is that without it, whatever you're building won't work. It's one of those things that you just have to have it. And if you're somehow missing a cornerstone, or you choose poorly and your cornerstone collapses, or whatever the right word might be, the whole edifice that you've built is going to be in serious jeopardy. And Paul in Ephesians says that Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. And from there, I started going backwards. And we often, well, and we're going to sing about the church's one foundation, and we understand how critically important Jesus Christ is to the church. Without Christ, there is no church. But I started looking at what Paul's talking about in this particular text. And the thing that struck me is that what Jesus does in the cornerstone is he's bringing together a foundation of two disparate things, of two very different things. And as I've been looking through Ephesians, I've been enjoying it quite a lot. I wanted to pay a little more attention to what's actually going on in it, so I wrote it out. It doesn't take very long. It's a fairly short book. But it pushes you to pay attention to each word, because you have to look at it and then write it down, and it creates a connection in a way that nothing else does. And Paul is working really hard to help us realize that the church comes from multiple places. And he's put it in binaries, in twos, for the most part, in this text, where he talks about how at one time, and he's writing to the church, possibly at Ephesus, maybe a circular letter to a bunch of different churches, but he's saying, look, you people in the church, at one point, some of you were this thing, Gentiles, and some of you were Jews, this other thing. And those two things never mixed. Like, they weren't even like oil and water in that they don't mix when they're together. They were never put in the same container. That was just the way it was. There was a complete difference between the two. And he says, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ. And he's talking to the Gentiles at this point. He's saying you're excluded from citizenship in Israel and you were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. He's saying that until this time, you were over there. The Jews were over here with the message of God. And there was no connection. But he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and destroyed the barrier between the two. And he, in other places, Paul frequently uses this notion of two completely different things, male and female, slave and free, Jew and Gentile, that they're not the same. There's no connection between them other than they're both human beings, I suppose. And then he says, but those divisions between the two have been destroyed. They've been erased. They no longer exist. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, is this a message that we still need? Do we still have this sense of binaries with in and out? And I think we do. There's something about human beings, it appears, that just calls out to us and them, to two groups, the one we're in and everything else. And I don't think that's bad in and of itself. I think, first of all, I don't think it's possible, but to look at everybody exactly the same way as you look at your family, it's kind of weird. Like it's weird and it's not necessary, and it's not helpful. I mean, if nothing else, I frequently hug my children and my grandchildren. And if I treated everybody like my children and grandchildren and hugged miscellaneous strangers, I would not, well, I'm pretty sure I'd make them uncomfortable. I think that's the best you could hope for, if you just started randomly hugging people. So there's value in seeing differences or different sort of stages in relationship within people. And I don't think that's what Paul's talking about here. I think what Paul's talking about is this idea that there are these two groups that never get together. And what Jesus did when he came and made the church is he said that when it comes to the relationship that human beings can have with God through me, Jesus said there is no barriers anymore. And Paul even goes to the point where he says that the church is built, the foundation is God, yes, the cornerstone is Jesus, but it's the foundation is built out of these two things that you never would have thought could have come together, Jews and Gentiles. When you read the Bible, there's millennia of conflict, armed conflict with people being killed, where the sole difference is Jew and non-Jew. And sometimes the violence goes in one direction and sometimes it comes in the other direction. But there's a fundamental gap there that seems unbridgeable until Jesus comes and says, no, whatever it was before, there is no barrier now. There's no racial barrier. There's no cultural barrier. There's no gender barrier between who can be in the church, between who can be in an authentic, intimate, real relationship with God through Jesus. And for us, in some ways, the revolutionary nature of this message is lost, at least to a certain extent, just because of our context. But I think this text still has some good reminders for us that we don't create brand new barriers. Because we can. It's easy enough for us to create definitions of what it means to be acceptable to the church that leave some people out. Depending on the church, sometimes it relates to, well, how much money you make or how much money you don't make. Sometimes it relates to ethnicity, to color. Some places, even now, we wouldn't see men and women sitting this close to each other. There'd be a separation even there. And these things still happen. And we look at most of them and we think, well, that's kind of crazy. And it is kind of crazy. But it's only crazy if our church isn't one of those. And this isn't, I hasten to add, some peculiar message of condemnation on Knox Presbyterian for not being friendly enough, because nothing could be further from the truth. But it's a reminder to us that this congregation might be a little bit different in that way, that its welcoming nature isn't necessarily the norm, but that we can't take that for granted. One of the things I have always appreciated about this congregation is the welcoming nature of this church, where my children have been welcomed, even though they sometimes look a little peculiar, when they show up. But I've seen that same welcome extended to people that, well, that aren't related to the person who preaches every Sunday. And I see in Knox, I see a church that takes seriously this idea that in Christ we are all free to join in worship. And as I was thinking about this message and some of the directions it might go, I thought there's nothing wrong now and then with reminding ourselves of what we do well. And this is something that we do very well here. Last Sunday, with a bunch of people who happened to be visiting, they were invited in and welcomed as if they'd always been attending here. Not in that sense that, well, you're a newcomer, but that's nothing special. It was special. We were glad to have them. And I enjoyed seeing the regular members here finding connections with these people and going, oh, now, okay, now I've got you placed. Now I see where we are connected external to the church as well, which is a sign of welcoming people. Because it's easy to think that our church is complete in and of itself, that we have all the people we need or all the things we need. It's easy for us to look at the comfort that we have and the what I assume is ongoing satisfaction with our worship services and saying, well, this is all we really need. But I don't see that here. I see a group of people who are always open to newcomers, who make them feel welcome, whether they look like they fit in or not. Because I think the orientation of any churchgoer that Paul is aiming for here is to pay attention to the fact that all of those artificial walls have ceased to exist when Christ came to die for everyone. It doesn't mean they're all identical any more than it means that everybody is a member of my family. But it means that there is no fundamental barrier between us reaching out to anyone who walks through these doors or someone that we're interacting with outside of church. There's no fundamental barrier that says, oh, that person can't join us. Because anyone can join us. Because Christ came for all of us. He came to say that, yes, there was a time when Jews knew what was actually going on with God in a way that no one else did, and the Gentiles were far away. But now they're nearby. Now they're close. In other places, Paul talks about how at one time there was a difference between men and women and how they had to come to God. And he says, now there is no difference. Women and men approach the same God in the same way because Christ came to die for them in the same way. The foundation that has been built is a foundation of a church that is inclusive to every human being now and forever. That no one, no matter how horrible, no one, no matter how rich or how poor, how famous or how negligible, how able or how disabled, is barred. No one. The foundation of the church that Christ built has doors that are as wide as they can possibly be. It was good to see how wide these doors are just last Sunday. And I don't expect that some Sunday we'll all wake up and think that this church is just for us now. But these things that we do well, these truths that we know, are worth revisiting now and then as a reminder so that we don't forget them. That we don't become so comfortable in how things always are that a newcomer might disrupt them. And we get a little concerned about having new people. We're not there now, and I honestly don't think we ever will be. But we'll maintain that openness to new people by reminding ourselves on a, maybe not a regular basis, but reminding ourselves now and then that there was a time when none of us would have been able to walk into the temple. There was a time when none of us would have been allowed to worship God because we were on the outside. That time is gone. It's gone from God's perspective, but human beings sometimes try and bring it back. And I don't want us to be those kind of human beings. I don't think we are now. But the way we will maintain that sense of openness is by reading Paul every once in a while and be reminded that there was a time when some people were barred from the presence of God in a worship place just because of who their parents were, because of where they were born. In our very own lifetimes, there have been times when people were barred from worshiping together because of the color of their skin. We need to be vigilant that we don't move into this direction that says that, well, you don't really fit. And to realize that we all fit. That there's room here for everyone. That the church was created for us all. This is a friendly place. It's a good place to worship God, and I want it to always be. And I'm looking forward to continuing to do so for however much longer we're all together. And we'll do it as long as we remember that Jesus himself became our peace, made the two one, destroyed all the barriers, the dividing walls of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations that kept people out. And he created a new person out of the two, reconciled both of them to God through the cross, and built the church, of which we're a part now. Amen. Let's pray.